The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hey guys, it's Nikki Glaser. This is Nikki Glaser Podcast. Thank you for listening, besties. That's what we call our listeners. Because legit, I talk to, on this podcast, like I talk to my best friends. If anything, I talk more openly on this. So, hi besties. Hey anyone who's a new listener. Hey anyone who listened to yesterday's show and is still on board, even though I was in a little bit of a cunty mood yesterday. Want to address it off the top. Got a comment on a picture that Andrew posted that I, she said, all I saw was, please don't block me, Nikki. And I go, what is this going to be? And it was like, what did she say? Hold on, let me pull it up because I definitely want to address it. Listen, this is what happens when you have a daily podcast. To everyone listening, like some days I'm going to be a little in a bad mood because I do a daily podcast and I can't just go like, you know, phone it in sometimes. And I don't think you'd want me to. And so you might see a side of me that you're like, I don't like this side of Nikki, but I think that's the freedom of this podcast is that I can show that to you. And much like my best friends, I can see ugly sides of them and be like, okay, this is a multifaceted person. It's not just the one-dimensional person I see on Instagram. And, you know, with that comes, I might disappoint you guys. So I disappointed a fan and I probably disappointed many. I disappointed myself yesterday, to be honest with you. I really don't want to bring a tude to the show, but sometimes, you know, when you get in a tude and you just can't get out of it, when you're stuck in a tude and you can't get out of, that's not the U2 song, but it's something like it. So someone wrote, Andrew posted a picture of me at the airport today sleeping like a homeless person, and that is not derogatory. I love homeless people. I watch I really recommend Invisible People on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel where you just watch homeless people being interviewed, and I pull it up, I would say once a month, and just go. Last night I went through a wormhole. It's called Invisible People. It has millions of followers, I think. And it's just like people that you just find, you see a image of someone and then this guy interviews them for 10 minutes and you just learn how they became homeless. It's really good. Unless you're willing to talk to homeless people yourself, it's really good to watch these people's stories so you can empathize. That being said, I did look like a homeless person in this photo, which by the way, I could be a homeless person. We are all very, you know, people that end up homeless, it's not because they aren't trying or because they're bad people or drug. I mean, sometimes it is because they're drug addicts, but no one wants to be homeless. I'll tell you that. So let's practice empathy there, even though it's hard sometimes where you're like, oh, that guy's so annoying and screaming. It's like he doesn't want the voices in his head to be there. He didn't choose to feel like he's Jesus or whatever the hell he's screaming about. So someone commented on this photo. Let me see. It was from Abigail Hope Scott. Abigail, hope this comment isn't too mean, is what I felt when I read it. Please don't block me, but please be nicer to Andrew. 4! This last app was really off. Oh boy, there's nothing worse than being described as off. Like, that got me, Abigail. You got me, girl. You got my attention. My ears perked up. I want to make you happy. And it felt totally unnecessary to critique him right before you go on 2 major podcasts. How is that going to help? Girl, you are fucking right. Criticism doesn't help anyone. There's like studies after studies that show that people do not do better when you admonish them. Positive reinforcement works. I know this. I'm a smart woman, Abigail. I just was in a bad mood and I think I was underslept this week. There's no excuse. I hate that I'm making butts, but truly, my mood got the best of me and it took away my ability to be a good friend. And it happens sometimes. Just like, you know, when you drink and you turn into a monster, sleep deprivation makes me a monster. And there's not an excuse. I just have to sleep better to be a better friend. She said, sorry, just made me sad after you shared how being heckled impacted you the other day, right? It kind of felt like as a listener, And if I did that to my best friend, I'd feel terrible, sad face. Just think before you cut someone down for zero reason. I will say, Abigail, it wasn't for zero reason. But you're absolutely right. And I just want to say that this was not a great text to or comment to pop up when Andrew and I had just landed in St. Louis and gotten in the car. And it's awkward because like I don't think he's listening, but like we see the comments on our separate phones. And when there's one like this that's addressing something that I did or he did. We know we both saw it, but we don't want to talk about it. The thing about this one is we took care of it right after. Like, I got done with the podcast. I was like, if it were up to me, I'd record another one because I saw what a pissy bitch I was the whole time. Although I was glad I talked about molestation. I got some messages from people being like, Hunting Warhead, thank you for talking about that. People need to know. So I'm not sad about that. But yesterday's wasn't the best pod. That's going to happen here sometimes. I always will give it my all, but that was my all yesterday. We got in the car yesterday, almost right after the podcast, Andrew and I, to go over to Tom Segura's and Christina Pazitsky's studio to do Your Mom's House, which was a great episode. You guys are going to love it. So fun. We talked about some real stuff. We just did silly stuff. I can't wait for you guys to watch it and listen. But on the way there, I go, listen, dude, I don't know what the fuck that was. And to be honest with you, and I tell him this again, but he already knows. I said, I was thinking about it. I'm like, why do I have to critique Andrew at all? When if you gave me the option to do podcasts alone or with someone, I would always choose to do podcasts, appear on other podcasts, do my own podcast with you. And so I said to Andrew, I go, you make me better. You always make me better. Even if you're your worst version of yourself, it's still better than me alone. Like, I like doing things with you. So the fact that I judged you was, I don't know where it came from, to be honest. I wish I could trace it. I think it was me feeling, I think it was me kind of getting on my high horse being like, I'm bringing you, I got you these gigs. You need to take a back seat. So just any kind of, I need to call the shots and say how you should behave. And it wasn't cool. And I acknowledge that. I love my besties. I love the fans for sticking up for Andrew, for keeping me accountable for those things. And I will always, I don't mind the comments. I would prefer a DM to me so that Andrew doesn't have to see it. And then it's just awkward, but I'll still allow it, Abigail. I actually appreciate you. And I love, what a lucky friend you are. If you would never talk like a friend to that, like that to a friend, you're a good person. And I might go back and listen to it so I can hear my tone, because sometimes when you're in those moments, you don't know what you sound like. And that's what I do like about this podcast, is that I feel so conversational, so natural. I'm holding nothing back, that when I do listen to things or when I have people give me feedback, it's feedback based on my real self. So I love you guys. Thank you for sticking with me on days where I might be a little hormonal. I'll always cop to it if I'm called on it, or at least say you're wrong and I'm right, and then apologize even later. But you know, sometimes you just can't apologize in the moment. Noah, do you ever feel, have you ever heard yourself, like you were saying that you went back and looked at some old texts between you and an ex-boyfriend, and seeing the way that you had talked, even in texts, like let's leave out tone, is humiliating. And that's one thing about watching myself. When I watch myself on the MTV Awards or movie and TV Awards Unscripted, I always lose my breath saying that title. I go, you know what? That's me performing. But hearing myself just naturally, it really is painful sometimes. It's hard to hear your own voice. Noah, thoughts?
It's terrible.
What did you see about yourself in those texts that you're like, oh my God?
Well, I realized that I was not empathetic at all, and that instead of speaking about my feelings, I did the thing where I point and blame someone else for my feelings.
Yes.
Instead of just saying like, oh, this stuff makes me feel this way,
God.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, let me frame. Maybe I can get at why I was mean to Andrew yesterday. I felt like telling Andrew how he should behave on these podcasts because I wanted him to be as good as he is on ours. And I didn't want, I hate when someone intimidates me because I'm a fan of theirs, much like I know, or just like I'm reverential to them. And I hate that I'm different in front of people that I want to like me. And that is my issue. It's not Andrew's. Andrew has his own things. And sometimes I do see that in Andrew because I see it in myself. And so for me, I was probably nervous about something where I, you know, last night I was in a green room with Bill Burr and I could not be comfortable. I could not be myself because I'm just like, it's Bill Burr, you know, and I'm not really close to him. I think he's just a genius. I think everything I say around him is probably the dumbest thing he's ever heard. And So I wasn't, so it was maybe that, you know, it was maybe me foreseeing that I was going to be around someone like that, that would make me feel like not myself. And so I was yelling at Andrew, be yourself, because I was talking to future Nikki, be yourself, which I tried to be. And like, actually, I love Bill Burr. He's one of my favorite comedians, and I'm terrified of him because he's just someone who tells the truth all the time. I'm much like I was scared of Patrice O'Neill before he died. I like didn't, I, even though he's, you know, also up there in my top five with Bill, he's just so truth. He tells the truth so much that I'm scared of what he might see in me. So anyway, I did a show with Bill Burr last night and Tim Dillon, who is so fucking funny. These shows I do in Hollywood. I went out to dinner with David Spade, name drop. We did two podcasts. We did Tom Segura's. Yesterday was crazy, Noah. Woke up, got a COVID test, went back to bed, did our podcast, was a total bitch, got in the car, apologized to Andrew. We had a heart-to-heart. We both love each other, said I love you. It was such a good moment. Went to Tom's, had a great time. Then we were late to Andrew Santino's podcast. Got there. Did Andrew's podcast. Also a great time. Whiskey Ginger. It'll be out at some point. Then I went to dinner with Spade. I was late. I'm always late. But it was so much fun. And then we went to, then I went over to my show and I didn't want Spade to watch me. I didn't want anyone to watch me. Bill Burr was there. I was like, I don't want Bill to watch me. He's probably just like, Shell, she doesn't talk about her vagina or whatever. Like, I don't know why. He's maybe the one comic that I'm like, oh God, please don't watch me. You're going to hate me. Like the other day when Chappelle was watching me on Fallon, I was even nervous then of like, oh, he's going to think something I do is hack. But like, guess what? We've all been hacks. So I just let it go. I really had to be like, okay, you cannot change the way you perform for these 300 people because Bill Burr is in the back. You just can't, Nikki. You're not going to cater your set to Bill Burr. So I didn't. And I had a fun time. And it's just so, I am so lucky to be a big enough name, like have established myself in comedy to a point that I'm on the same bill as Bill and Tim. And who else was on that show that was fucking killer? I mean, it was an insane lineup. I mean, it's just, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I haven't tricked anyone. I'm not a fraud. I'm there. And I belong here, and I'm glad you're listening. But man, it's a pinch yourself kind of moment. And thank you to the bestie that came out to the show the other night and goes, bestie! And I go, ah, bestie! It was so exciting. So I'm excited to see you all on tour and have you. We'll give you something to cheer so it's not bestie, so I can, I don't know, something funny to yell out that people go, what the fuck did you say? Like on our last podcast, people were called squirters. We were calling them Squirt Nation. And people would come up to shows and go, I'm a squirter. And I was like, I don't know whether you're a fan of the show or, you know, you need to teach me a thing or two because I've only done it once and I want to learn how to do it every time. But I'll have to get one of those mattress covers that I should have had in fourth grade because I wet the bed all the time. Let's get Andrew in here for the news. Bestie Andrew! Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Nick.
Welcome to St. Louis again. We're back in St. Louis. We're in our new studio, but it's not done yet. The wall is painted behind us. It looks great. You guys will see it soon. We're on a love seat together.
This is really, I like this. This feels very friendshipy. We're close. Are we too close?
No, I just told them that we made up in the car yesterday after the podcast. And I admitted to being a huge cunt. And we really did make up. We always make up. It gets easier and easier every time.
I could write on a calendar. If you told me what we were doing, how long we were going to hang out for, it'd be like a science experiment. I could literally within 2 days go, we're going to fight around 2 p.m. that Tuesday.
Are you connected to my period tracker app? Because that could probably predict it for you. No, I was in a really bad mood yesterday, and I was just saying that's the point. Like a daily podcast, like you're going to get happen. That sometimes. Yeah. So I just want you besties, if you hear a episode that you're just like, ugh, will you just like hang in there? I know I can be a lot sometimes. I really do. But I'm just being honest with you guys. So I explained to them where it came from and how we made up in the car and how obviously if I had the opportunity to do those podcasts alone and I have the opportunity to do this podcast alone. And it's not that I want you to do it because with me because I'm lonely or scared I can't do it. It's because you make it better. And you know that I know that I feel that about you. My judgment of you is all my own fears of not being myself with people that intimidate me. So I go, Andrew, don't be weird with people that intimidate you. When really, it was me talking to myself about Bill Burr later in the evening.
Here's the thing, though. You're not wrong. Like, your intuitions are always right. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, they're usually right. And I saw where you were coming from, and I didn't think it was that mean yesterday. But
I was up to no good yesterday. I felt I was maybe being like, what? I'm just telling the truth. Like, that whole thing. You know when you do that, people listening, where you go, and I don't even know that I knew that I was up to no good, but I still felt when you're in that zone, you just can't get out of it. It's like you just got a rooster. And I love that someone wrote on the thing, because I posted a picture yesterday of the vibe of yesterday's show. Of us strangling each other or whatever. It was one of our first pictures. And someone wrote under it, rooster. And I was like, I forgot I told them about rooster. So next time, let's just rooster this. But the thing is, I can't even fucking rooster when I'm in that mood. I'm just know I'm right.
I'm
really difficult. I'm learning.
Yeah.
Have I gotten better?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
that
didn't sound like a good yeah.
No, you definitely have gotten better. Now you yell at me for saying that you haven't gotten better.
No, I mean, be honest.
No, but I think you have gotten better. I really do. I just think there's so many, like, you are a workaholic. We spend so much time together. You do something like the MTV Awards, or you do something like the show we filmed in Cayman. It's such a high. You'd be a crazy person to not come off that and be a little moody. I mean, anyone would be.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to take it out on you, man. I really am. It's like, I was on my date last night. I was talking to this guy about it, and he was talking about, he works with celebrities sometimes. And we were talking about a person, that he has known before. And he was like, sometimes I feel like I'm someone that he can take out his anger on, and that I'm just going to put up with it. And I don't. And I put my foot down. And now when it happens, this guy said, I'll just go, we're done today. Even though he's working for this person, when that person is in a bad mood, he just goes, you either need to stop what you're doing and stop talking to me that way and I'll stay, or you need to go and then you can come back tomorrow and we'll act like this never happened, which I don't like that part, but like, we're done here. And I was like, yeah, that's the way I feel with my roommate and my podcast co-host. I was like, I only talk to people, my mom, my dad, and Andrew like this. Like, really, I don't even talk to my sister like the way I talk to you, because I'm scared she might even pull away her love. But it's all just,
I guess the difference there is that, you know, that's one of probably 100 clients.
That's what he said. He goes, I'm not, and he goes, but this guy is, you know, all of his work is with you. Not all of it for sure, but and I hope you've learned that I will be okay if you just go fuck you and walk out. I really will. And I know that's like easy for me to say. It's the same thing of when I tell guys, like, I want you to fuck other girls, and they're like, yeah, right. And I'm like, I swear I'm into it and I'll still like you afterwards. And they're like, I don't think so. So maybe just test it out with like making out with other girls, in terms of like just being like, Nick, you're a cunt, and then like walk out. And but like, don't. Is this registering to you? And
no, what do you mean? Like leaving?
Like, it's that maybe don't leave, like, we're done, but you can go like, Nikki,
not today.
No, I don't like your tone with me. Like, just honestly, like, I don't want to be like, stand up for yourself. Like, I hate when bullies say that, but I want to give you the right to do that. And I know that that's not for me to give you. I just need to treat you better. And I am working on that. And that's all that needs to change, honestly, is my behavior, not yours.
Yeah. And I look,
but just like, stand up for, I'm just kidding.
No, I think I did stand up for myself the other
day. You did.
And
the other night?
I just, you know, for me, I'm not a fighter like that. I've never been. If I do fight, it's like, it's 0 to like 200. And I've never, you know, I kind of went there a little bit the other day, but that's exhausting to me. I grew up with it. I grew up with my family, my parents fighting every single, like, I'm talking like fighting, like screaming, like bloody murder.
Yep.
So it's like that sound to me coming out of my own voice, it's not worth it. So if I was ever in that relationship or friendships, I would walk away. Leave. I would leave.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is this is my career, too. And so I have to weigh my options.
So many people have bosses that are just the worst. And I always go, why do you stay? And I don't want to be one of those bosses. So I will do the work. You don't need to do anything. You're perfect. I'm serious. And not perfect, but like, it's my own shit. I don't need to, you don't need to change. How did you sleep last night?
But maybe we just talk, maybe if you're having that feeling, then let's talk about that before, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like before we get on a podcast.
The thing is, I like don't, you know, like it's even, never, yeah, your brain you never is foresee even. That it's coming. Like it was brewing the whole time and then it unleashed. Now that I'm calling it out, I'm going to be more aware of it. And maybe in the moment on the show to, you know, I'll be able to call it out. I think we should just try to rooster each other, or Noah, you can call Rooster maybe.
I can hold up a sign that says Rooster on it.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to come off like I have total anger management issues. This does come up for me. I'm working on it. I've never been in a, you know, a cohabitating, co-working relationship. When I had a TV show with Sarah Schaefer, we would butt heads, and I was more scared of her, I think, in that relationship. And so I would kind of be in your role, and it's not a good place to be, and I'm really sorry to make you feel that way.
And I think we're figuring out each other's boundaries, and I think that's what it comes down to.
Oh, but when I feel right, I just want to fucking... I like fighting with you sometimes, though. I really do, and I'm sorry for that. And you can just go, no. Like, because I grew up in the house like that too, man, and not as bad as yours maybe, but that's why I can't watch Summer House more than 2 episodes in a row, because Lindsay screaming drunkenly is like my childhood. I just go, like, it's stressing me out.
But now I'm like thinking, like, when you feel like you're right about something, like right about me being too giddy on a podcast and now you had to say something, is that what you're talking about? Or what were you?
Oh, no. Like, remember the other night when we were really going at it? That and I was thing. Like, yeah. I could you. Yeah. That was like, I just felt right and I wanted to like debate you on it. And that was, both times I felt like I was in the wrong. I mean, I just feel like there's still something you want to say to me right now. I don't feel a complete like forgiveness.
No, I
you have to give that to me.
No, I don't. I didn't even realize yesterday's fight was so bad. I really didn't. I think I was so in my head about doing the other stuff and making sure, you know, things went great with the other podcasts. And so
we did have great times.
And I thought we had a great time. Tom and Christina, I think we vibed with them incredibly.
Yeah.
And we actually went there kind of, you were right, dude. Like, your criticisms sometimes might be harsh, but dude, I'm used to that. I played sports. Like, I don't mind like critical, like as long as it's like comes from a place of love and it's like how it's told to me.
No, I did. My tone wasn't good.
But here's the thing. I was better on that podcast because of your advice. We were more relaxed. I wasn't like this kind of energy of trying to be funny.
No,
we were
just
talking.
You were great.
And we were just bullshitting.
Well, then I'll keep being mean to you. But no, that's I appreciate you saying that. And I do feel like I can read you more than I probably can sometimes. So it makes me feel good that you acknowledge that sometimes I'm right. Because my dad is always like, you don't always know what I'm thinking. And I'm like, but I do. And you know I do. You just won't admit that that's what you were thinking.
But here's the thing. Sometimes I know what you're thinking.
And you don't say
and
it.
I wouldn't say it because it's not my right to say it.
You're right.
But here, the one thing that like is hard for me, mm-hmm. and I guess we could talk about it. I mean, it's not going to start a fight, I promise. But is like, if I'm staying at your place in LA, like it's your house, you're renting this house, right? So like there's a feeling, and this is like such a... Because the house is amazing. Everything's amazing. Let's start there. I know that's annoying when someone starts with like, but, you know, let's say I wanted to have someone over, right? Like, I would have to ask for almost permission.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if you understand that feeling of like living in a house where you don't feel completely free to do exactly what you want as a 41-year-old man.
Yeah.
So... That's where, like, there's, I think, when we get into...
Then if you offer to pay your share of the rent, and then we can talk. But I also, even if we're sharing rent, I understand that. You're right.
It depends how long the stay is.
You're right.
But we had the same argument when we were in Cayman. Like, and so, like, those are things that maybe I should rather get a cheaper place on my own. Didn't live, but I would rather live with you, but also at the same moment have freedom.
I had a knee-jerk reaction to you having someone over because I felt like I'm going to have to be social with this person and like be nice and entertain them, and I won't be able to be free and play guitar and like be loud and do what I want when I have some downtime. So that's why I was like, just you can't have them over. And then when I realized I wasn't going to be there, it was like, oh, okay, you can have them over. But I think
do you understand if I asked one time, one time for someone to come over to do my podcast for an hour.
Yes.
And you had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you don't understand, like, that puts so much stress on that person, on me, mm-hmm. to be like, to walk on eggshells because of how you react. And then you'll go, well, I don't react. I'm why would you think I react that way?
I hear this.
Because you do.
I think next time this comes up, say, listen, I know, I acknowledge my feelings are like, I'm weird about my space and having people in, even if it's someone I like. Like, I really love that girl, and if I was in the right mood, come on over. And I would have been fine with it. But in the moment, you can just say, I know that you are, I know that you are different about sharing your space than I am. Would it be okay if I had this person over? Like, if you present it in a way that acknowledges my feelings and validates my feelings.
I know, but that's a lot for someone, dude.
I understand, but that's because, what I require. It's a weird thing about me.
I know, but here's the thing. We had like 15 people over there or staying there. So it's like,
but
it doesn't feel like that weird about your space unless it's for you. And
I understand, but that's when I was comfortable with those people and I made that decision. If you were someone who got weird about having people over, I would probably ask you before in that way, if you had anxiety about people coming over the way I do with younger comics coming over who, you know, I might have to entertain in some way. Like, if, you know, I adjust things that I'm not you. You're not me and I'm not you. So my feelings don't have to be the same as your feelings.
True.
About having people
True.
Over. And if you did have a feeling that wasn't the same as mine, I would hope to go, Andrew, I know that this is a thing for you that maybe, you know, you might have an issue with, even though I don't, you know, like, we just have to acknowledge each other's feelings.
I get that.
And that I'm just different about things than you. And it is a touchy subject for me, and I'll try to be better and acknowledge that it must be tough for you to live with someone who can, like, tells you who you can and can't have over. But your dad and I think that you're socializing too much and doing too much podcasting, and we need to limit the friends you have over. And the house is a mess.
Well, let me talk to dad
about it. If you clean your damn room sometime, maybe I'll let you have people over, Nick. Let's get to the news.
Is this exhausting for people?
I think this is good. Okay. Listen, I don't even, honestly, besties, I love you. I don't care if this was exhausting for you, because I think there's probably someone who just learned how to maybe have a communicative talk with their loved one.
Okay, good.
I would like to confirm we have received feedback that people enjoy the makeup podcasts.
Let's call
so
them.
It does teach people.
I like when it's a makeup. We need to start doing that. Like, we need to just, like, label it a makeup podcast. Like, on the description, you know, we'll title it and go, sure. Attention, it's a makeup podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure people do get help, like, addressing their feelings towards someone else by hearing it.
Even this helped me. I mean,
yeah, it helped me too. Yeah,
we are forced to have these conversations when really, if we live separately, we wouldn't have them.
No, and it would probably build up. And
yeah,
shit.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
I love when we have these talks, and then it's you heard it here first. Okay.
All right, let's get to the news.
All right. Hey, you heard it here first, folks. First of all, I hope you're having so much fun out there. We obviously are, because we've made up. This is a big makeup. All the swells are happening on this couch.
Oh my God,
right now.
I'm full of swells.
So much swell. It's swelling up down
We're
there,
We're on a
boy.
Love seat, too. This is actually really quite comfortable to podcast like this.
I mean, it would be hilarious if we did all that work. And
I know
then
my
it's
mom.
Just us.
My mom's decorating her studio, and she's sending me chairs, and I was just like, I just use the one I have. Anyway, let's get to the news. I'm excited for the headlines because I don't know what the hell we're talking about today.
Oh boy, this one's interesting. It's not insane, but the top battery draining app on your phone is Fitbit.
What?
Instagram comes in eighth and Tinder in ninth. I thought you would like a list like this to go over. I mean, what do you think are the top 20? I took a photo of it.
Oh my God, I love this article. Thank you so much for sharing this. So Fitbit is the number one draining one. If you have it up, you mean, like, the way
yeah,
that every mom
yeah.
has every app up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I see the list here. So it's Fitbit, then Verizon, then Uber, Skype. That makes sense. Facebook, Airbnb. Why does it close out Airbnb? You should book it and then close out. Bego Live. I don't know what Bego Live is. It's a little dinosaur looking thing. Then Instagram, Tinder, Bumble.
A lot of dating apps. If you keep them going, there's a certain thing where it can use like 11 different parts of your phone.
Dude, I had no idea. I got all these up right now. Can we go through and see how many I have up?
Yeah,
let's
you
see
probably
this.
Have all 10.
Okay, I have my chat, then Instagram, then YouTube, then Venmo, then Bumble, then Raya, then Starbucks, then my mail, then Safari, then Calendar, then Carvana, Kayak. clock, Spotify, podcast settings, phone, white noise, Southwest, Reddit, Twitter, my AT&T, mail online, Daily Mail, Google Maps, voice memo, docs, camera, notes, Uber. These are all up. Lyft, photos, maps, oh, weather, Insta size. Make sure Instagram photos size to a square. American Airlines, WhatsApp, files, tabs, Guitar Tuna, Yelp, Open Table, Books, Postmates, Craigslist, Imgur, TikTok, Amazon, Waze, Drive. Holy shit. I'm so sorry. I apologize for that list.
No, that was.
What do you got going?
I have pretty much Google, text, notes, Uber, Twitter, Bank of America, TikTok, maps. Now, by the way, we're doing this by swiping up. I think people.
Yeah, you know when you YouTube, have a thing open, that's what we're talking about. Like, we have all these windows open. I'm closing
Blinkist,
them all now.
Spotify, nice. Podcast, Southwest. Oh, by the way, United Airlines is like number one on the list that I saw. I don't know why.
Really?
But yeah, United needs to get
Fuck
their shit
United.
Together. Venmo.
We just flew Southwest. We just flew in, by the way, you guys. We had a 7:10 a.m. flight. We got picked up at 5:10. I slept 2 hours. I got done with my date at about 12:30, packed. And then I stayed up till 2:30 in bed, just like Redditing and stuff like that. And then we woke up so fucking early. We did it today. I'm so glad to be back. Fuck.
I like St. Louis.
I like St. Louis too. No one can ask me to do a podcast or do a spot tonight. And my dog is somewhere. I don't even know if I'm going to see my dog tonight. Okay, so that's helpful to know to close out all your apps.
I mean, I think, you know, I'm someone that runs on around 17% a lot. Like, I've a lot of my hangups on my brother, on my family. Oh, mom's dead. Oh, my battery's dead.
That's the best way to, by the way, guys. If you are in a call with someone you don't want to be, don't go. Just drop the call. Just
hang up. But what if they call you? What if they call you?
Then put it on airplane mode. So drop it, airplane mode.
But you don't lie. But you don't lie.
But this is not. This is where you don't lie, okay? They call back and you say, I'm sorry, I lost the call.
Okay.
Or you can say I was in a bad area, and as long as you're in a bad neighborhood,
wait,
you're not
you've
lying.
You've said that to me before.
No, that's when I was on runs, and I would go on these hills, and every time I was on this run, I knew exactly where it peter off. But you can just hang up. You know, you don't have to go like, I'm going into a bad, yeah, but good.
Oh,
just hang
yeah,
up. Because
just
it just
hang
happens.
Up,
you know what I mean? You just hang up and no one would ever know. But it is not sincere. But if you do follow it up with, sorry, man, it just hung up. That's still not lying. It did hang up. You did it. So you can skirt around the truth. Let's get to the next story.
An 11-year-old girl who fought off attempted kidnapping credits Law and Order SVU for quick thinking that helped her identify the suspects.
So 11-year-old girl was nearly kidnapped at her school bus stop in Florida. Okay.
So it's pretty amazing. She was playing with blue paint at the time, right? And people knew that.
Okay.
And
oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, you guys, this girl is playing in like a, oh my God. Oh my God, we're watching the video. You guys, this girl is playing with like some paint in this like kind of, it looks like a cul-de-sac, like the end of a cul-de-sac in the middle, in the grassy middle area. Then this white SUV pulls up, more like a CRV pulls up. I'm looking at cars, Carvana. And the guy gets out of the car, runs.
It'd be weird if
at the girl. Can we watch it again?
What car you want.
I'm doing a play-by-play of, oh, I like that kidnapper's car. Oh, wait. I want to see him run up to her again. Guys, this is fucking crazy. He sprints over. She starts running. He grabs her. She throws her paints. He wrestles her to the ground. Then, I don't know, she does something to him, and she sprints away.
She put a lot of paint on his arm. So then he was at the store later on in the day, and the cops found him because he had paint on his arm.
Oh, and she got that from an Law and Order SVU episode?
Here's the thing.
I'm not trying to be a dick
to this 11-year-old girl that almost got kidnapped.
Yeah, I mean, this poor girl is traumatized. Good job, honey. Oh, my God.
I don't know if in this moment she was that quick.
I don't think so either.
I think
it worked out,
and then Monday morning quarterback, she was like, oh, by the way, I watched
SVU. I meant to do that. Yeah, I agree, because honestly, you don't know what happens in those moments. Like, it's time goes very slow, and sometimes you have a lot of time to think. Like, when you hear about shark attacks, people punching the shark, doing different things. So I don't put it past her that she maybe did have that flash memory of, mark him in some way.
Yeah.
But regardless, amazing. And he did get into the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
That joke would be better now if I hadn't, like, kind of said it before. That would be I wish we could take out the last one, because that would be hilarious.
Here's the thing. I didn't hear the first one.
Oh, good. So I got a genuine laugh on the next one. Okay. But yeah, he is auditioning, and he's.
Did he already know how to play drums, or did he learn after the fact? No, in jail.
Yeah, he'll learn in jail. I mean, they're banging on things in there. That was really scary. And 11-year-old girl, for some reason, when you said an 11-year-old girl, I just was like, I loved being 11. I think that was one of my favorite times was being 11. I think it was in fourth grade.
You know why 11 was dope?
1995.
Your parents finally let you ride your bike around the like neighborhood by yourself.
Yeah.
Which they probably shouldn't have looking at this.
Yeah, I mean, now looking back.
Dude, my parents would just go, how... Here, Saturday, take your mongoose and go for a ride. And I would just ride.
In Florida, is that a bike or an actual mongoose?
An actual mongoose.
I question if those are regional. Yeah.
Take the mongoose to the alligator to the manatee. That's what we did on there.
My parents also let us run rampant. And I was really scared of my sister getting kidnapped because I knew I was smart enough to, like, I was scared of everyone. I thought everyone was a kidnapper. So
really?
I was always on alert. The same way when my dad taught me how to drive, he goes, Nikki, pretend that every car is going to try to crash into you. So you're always aware, like you're defensive driving, you know, like pretend that every car at the last second could just turn into you and what you would do. And so I drive like that. I know it seems like I don't, but I do. And I used to live that way with kidnappers. But my sister, I knew didn't have the same fear because I got my fear from my mom because she was scared that I would get kidnapped when I was first child. But by the time my sister rolled around, the fear, she was like, no one kidnaps these fucking kids. So she let my sister a little bit more lax, as you do with the second child. And I was terrified of her getting kidnapped. Terrified.
Your sister
jokes,
was hotter, so she was more kidnappable.
No, she wasn't even cute. At this age, I was kind of like cuter. She was a little chubby. And I had buck teeth, and that's how we used to go at each other. I'd be like, you're fat. And she'd go, you have buck teeth. And I go, and she goes, and by the way, everyone knows that fat kids turn into skinny adults and that skinny kids turn into fat adults. So you're going to be fat with buck teeth and your buck teeth aren't going to change. And I'd be like, where does she know that science? Oh, like, I like, God. And she was not wrong. Like, I turned into a little bit heftier because I was.
Well, you grew into your teeth.
Yeah.
Wait, so.
So I was scared of her getting kidnapped. And my first joke, one of my first jokes that I still look back on, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good, was I remember when I was a really young girl playing in my front yard with my sister, and a guy came up, pulled up in a really creepy van. This is classic Nikki Glaser early joke. Yeah, just so much setup.
Left turn. Here
no, just
come.
So much setup and like one little joke at the end. It's just like, just get to the joke.
Jesselnik.
I was playing with my sister in the front yard, Jesselnik. I don't know how to do an impression of him.
That's pretty good.
I was playing with my sister in the front yard, and you know, just how kids do.
Do it. Keep going. It's great.
And wait, hold on. I'm trying to think of how you would say this. And a van pulled up. You know, I had never seen this van before, but it happens. Vans come down the street. It wasn't the weirdest thing until the van stopped right in front of me and my sister playing. And then this man I'd never seen before rolls down his window. And you know what? You see these people on TV that you go, you look like a molester. It looked like that guy. The guy was playing the part of one. It was almost like he was cast. My parents were nowhere to be found. I'm 11, cute as a button. I can't set up another way. I'm 11. My sister, she's 9. My sister doesn't even see it. I'm playing with her. We're doing back bends or some kind of gymnastics thing. And the man goes, hey, little girl. And I go, me? And he goes, yeah, come over here. And I go, okay, sir. And I walk over to his cart. I'm a little scared. But he goes, you want some candy? And I go, yeah, I want some. Or he goes, hey, little girl. And I go, yeah. And he goes, want some candy? I'm remembering my joke. Want some candy? And I go, yeah, I do. And I went over, about to get in the car, and he grabbed me by the arm. He goes, not you. Her,
yeah,
and that was it. That was it.
I know.
I mean, it was just like, I mean, obviously, it's going.
Honestly, dude, that's a great like your delivery. Like, it makes you smile. Like, you talking like Jesselnik.
I like Jesselnik's jokes because I like those setups because he does tell a story and paints a beautiful picture, and he just talks so poetically. So that was a fun little.
Yeah, that was a fun little journey.
Thanks for letting me do that. Let's get to the next story.
Next story, baby. I hope you have
sports moment.
Oh, we going right to sporties?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it, boy.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, I forgot to be unenthusiastic about it.
No, I like that you were excited.
No, I am excited. What's it going to be today?
What do you think?
Tiger Woods.
Close. Starts with a T.
Travis Barker. I'm sure he threw a drumstick once.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, the Christian.
Oh, is he Christian? Oh,
didn't
my
he
God.
Do the? Wasn't it Tebowing if you like took a knee?
Yeah,
and, like, prayed.
He did like people
not
would be
the
like,
Colin Kaepernick
you're doing
knee.
The Kaepernick or the Tebow.
Got
Tebow's
it.
For white prayers and like yeah. So that's actually a thing right now. So,
and is he like? Was he like a virgin before he got married and all that shit?
He
like,
claims,
allegedly.
But a guy that I know went to college with him
said
he got thousands of blowjobs.
Oh well, good for him.
Yeah. So.
All right.
I mean, and I think he put in some poop.
It was for charity.
Yeah, it was for charity. He gave back.
I don't even know what
Tim Tebow signs 1-year deal with the Jaguars. That's on my arm.
Yeah,
as
you got Jaguar.
As he looks for another NFL run as a tight end.
Wait, tight so end just to, so you know, Andrew has a Jaguar tattoo on his arm because he thought that it Jaguars were native to Florida, even though they haven't been there for
ever,
like since
ever.
The Pleistocene.
No, ever.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Okay.
There's like one or two in a zoo.
Okay. Well, that still counts. But
why the
Jaguars is
a team.
Yeah. So he's doing a 1-year deal with the Jaguars. Is he like out of favor? I don't hear about him much.
Okay.
But why is this news? Tell me.
All right, I'll tell you.
Why do I care?
Okay, so Tim Tebow, biggest college football player ever, right?
Why not professional football player?
That's the thing. He wasn't. Ooh. He didn't throw correctly. He wasn't a great NFL. He wasn't a terrible NFL quarterback. He shouldn't have been cut.
He got the
I
yips.
Still don't think he didn't get the yips. He was 7-5
Aren't
as
you impressed
a starter.
I know what the yips are.
I do.
I kind of like was like excited to say that, and then you just go, no, I didn't get the yips, and I go, can you give me some credit?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you. I gave you credit by not saying anything about it. That means that I expected it from you.
Oh, okay.
Expected you not to get the yips by saying.
Yep. Is it like the hiccups of throwing or pitching or swinging or anything?
Yeah, but the hiccups never sometimes go away.
Got it.
You get the yips.
Oh, if you want to just not have the yips, you have to take a drink of water and put your head behind your underneath your legs. I know it didn't scare me.
Well, it scared Tim Tebow because, well, he's back, baby. No, so Tim Tebow, right? He gets drafted as an NFL quarterback. He wins a couple playoff games and then he gets cut. Like, they just don't think he could be an NFL quarterback. Now, they did say, hey, why don't you try tight end because you're 6'3", 240 pounds of pure muscle and pure Jesus behind you, right? So he gets cut. He tries to play baseball. And he gets all the way to like double A for the Mets. Here's the thing. Tim Tebow is if you're a greedy team, he's going to sell jerseys. He's going to make you money.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that love Jesus out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that love Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is from Jacksonville.
Oh, this is. So what is his deal?
So this is the thing. So Tim Tebow, now that he's 33, he tried baseball, didn't work out. He's still working out. He's still jacked. The head coach is the old coach for the Florida Gators when he was a star, who's now in Jacksonville, Urban Meyer. So then he's now
his name's Urban.
Urban, yeah.
Is he gay? So, is he okay? Is he black?
No, white guy. White
it.
Guy. White Urban.
Hmm.
So then
Keith Urban,
great songer, writer, and
songer.
Singer.
Songer.
He's got.
We gotta call.
I just
songers.
Got the yips there. Songer.
I like it better than singer songwriter.
Hey, put it together. Songer.
Yeah, songer.
Shirt. So then, so now he's now he'll play tight end. But people are going nuts. Well, one, he's jersey sales from Jacksonville.
Got it.
Going to be off. But people are mad because Kaepernick never got signed again. But here's old Christian White Tebow getting signed 10 years after he fucking was even in the league. And people are losing their shit. A lot of like black players are going, well, this isn't right for him to get an opportunity.
Why does it have to be between those two?
That's
are they the same level?
Like to,
skill level? And it was Colin Kaepernick up for being placed somewhere? Where is he now?
Well, there's a, I mean, that's a whole long. Well, Kaepernick's not playing. He had an opportunity to sign. There's a lot of like drama behind it where I think he denied.
What
being
are your
signed.
Thoughts on this?
I think yeah, for a money standpoint, fucking sign him. Don't
even overthink
it. Are the
Jaguars ever going to be good? Like, have they ever gotten close to being good? Could this be?
They were good with this guy named Mark Brunell, who was a lefty quarterback. Tebow's a lefty quarterback. Who knows?
Okay.
Maybe it might end up being a quarterback. But they just drafted this guy, Trevor Lawrence, who has the long blonde hair.
I'm always very confused about these teams that I know of that I literally know they've never been at a Super Bowl. Why do they exist then? If they've never been good, the Bengals have not won. Why are they around? The Browns. What they're just like, why? Why even have bad teams that don't even get a chance to even get to compete in the Super Bowl?
Good question. So the Patriots, if you looked at the Patriots 20 years ago, you would say the same thing about them.
Mm.
So, you know.
So you always have a chance.
You have a chance.
A team can turn it around.
Look, owners, they all have a lot of money. So there's a possibility. The Browns had a good season last year.
Last night, Bill Burr was in a fight. Not a fight, but it got in an argument with another comic about the Lakers, saying, like, you know the Lakers were bought, right? Like, they were talking about the Celtics and then the Lakers, and they were arguing about who is better. And Bill, the essence of what he was saying to this guy was, like, the Lakers are just like, oh, he did a great example. I don't want to ruin his bit because I was like, Bill, I go, you should do that. I don't think he heard me, like, on stage. I'm sure he's going to do it at some point because it's so funny. But he's like, the Lakers, it's like, you ever, he goes, you know when you like, when you would like pick teams in fucking, you know, grade school, and then you realize like one team like has way too many guys that are like going to be good, and the other one, even in grade school, when you're in like sixth grade, you go, this is not even. We gotta even this out. Children know to even it out. How do you know professional teams not know that this is completely uneven and it's all based on, I guess, you just buy a team. That's what I've always wondered. I would be so much more into sports if the sports had to be like the player had to be from the city that they're playing for.
Oh, I like that.
But that
would be a problem because the cities are smaller. So you would have, depending on the city, so New York versus fucking Omaha, or not Omaha, but Oklahoma City.
Let's just see how it goes. If we looked at like the best players and then we kind of saw where they would end up, I wonder what the teams would look like.
You know what I like? And
it's like high schools.
No, this is, I agree with you. I think because in Europe, you like France versus Germany. You break it up by state, not by city.
State. I like that.
I like that a lot.
Oh, but I will say with Kansas City, it's so on the border. You could be a part of Missouri or no, Kansas.
If you're down the middle, yeah, you're either on Kansas or Missouri.
Okay. Well, I like it. I think because I just never understand when people are like, oh, St. Louis, we got, what's the there's like a.
But if you think we're divided now, wait till you have like Georgia, just Georgia players versus, you know, New York.
I just don't understand being like, oh, my team, I'm from Philly, I love this team, when it's all people that are not from Philly have only lived in your city for 6 months. I mean, I get it. I like this idea. When a guy has grown up in St. Louis, like, I think, what's his name? Not Drew Brees. There's some guy with Brees with the last name. We got to get to listener mail.
Real quick, though, college is, for a long time, was essentially that.
Yeah. Okay. So, that makes sense.
And high schools do that too. Like, that's Florida will play
Georgia. Let's keep it going with like, stay where you are. Don't leave your state. That's why I'm in St. Louis. I wanna be on the stand-up comics from St. Louis. Me, Cedric the Entertainer, Greg Warren, now you.
Oh, and
Carly Kloss.
And what's
Kimmy Schmidt.
Chuck Berry.
John Hamm. Wait, these aren't comics. Okay, let's get to listener mail. Oh, we love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for writing in. Oh, I just feel so connected to you today. Today, we're reading a message from Jason. This is via Instagram. You talked about sloths on Monday, says Jason, and it brought back my worst haunting story. I was on a field trip during elementary school at the Baltimore Aquarium. We were in the upper level rainforest room, and I felt something on my head. A fucking sloth shit on my head in front of my classmates. Shit dripped down my face. It was mortifying. What grade? Oh, elementary school. So we're talking fifth grade and below. That's not funny when a sloth shits on your head until you're an adult and you can be like, you know. But when you're a kid, that's devastating.
I mean, there's a lot of interesting parts here because sloths shit on the ground. They actually climb down a tree. It takes them like 2 weeks. They only shit every 2 weeks because they're so lazy. They don't want to climb back up the tree. I don't know why they just don't shit from where they are in the tree. I think it might be a defense mechanism.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder like how slow the shit dripped down his face.
It would be so funny if they shit really fast like I do. You just had to go. I went to go shit when we got in. I went to go pull a balcony. That's what we call it when I used to live in my old place, because whenever I had to shit, I'd tell Andrew to go wait on the balcony. So I had the balcony earlier when we got in. And I was going to do it in our like main bathroom that we both share because I had to go so bad. But then I was like, no, I'm going to respect Andrew and like go to my own bathroom. And then I get in there. There's no toilet paper. There's just one of Poppy's diapers. And I usually like dig through the trash bin too to pull up like tissues that I maybe have snotted in and just use it. Fucking who cares? And then it was just Poppy's diaper. And I go, I don't want to do that. And so I go, Andrew, will you toss me toilet paper? It's just so nice to have a friend. I hate when you have to like have when you shit and you're like, I'm going to have to like waddle out of here and and have shit in my butt as I walk.
Yeah, the best is to throw too, because you don't want to look at the person on the shitter, so you do a no look throw. Yeah. It's always like
yeah, you threw it well. It got to me. But the funny part is that my bathroom was dark, and I was like, it's so weird. He's gonna see me shitting in the dark, and so I started singing. I keep shitting in the dark.
Oh, that's why you sang.
I'm on the toilet trying to
Dude, that story of shit. The sloth. I'll tell this real quick. When I was in, I went to Body Wars in Disney World or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and I
where it's like they show you like the inside the body. It's like
and you're on an interactive ride, and you go through the body. And there was a handicap, a mentally handicapped kid behind us.
Okay,
and we were young. We were like 8 or 9, so we were kind of like laughing at him.
Yeah,
the ride starts going. We're going through the intestines. We're going through the stomach, and I start to smell. And I'm like, wait, is smell part of this ride?
Oh my god, it smelled like shit.
It smelled like throw up, and I was like, man, I was like, God, wow, this is really good. Yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, man, they're so ahead of their time. The light comes on. The mentally handicapped kid threw up all over me.
Oh no.
All over me, right? And he's just wiping his face while leaving, and I'm like, no, he didn't. And I look at my back, and I'm just covered in throw up. And all the kids are laughing at me. And I mean, some would say he's the sloth of humans, you know? And so we could probably leave.
No, I was going to say it too. So just leave it. It's fine. And it's not. We love sloths. And I love mentally handicapped people too.
So he throws up all over me. And then I had like $30 that my mom gave me.
And you had to buy a Minion shirt.
I bought a Goofy shirt that was literally, I had to borrow $10 to buy.
Because they're so expensive at Epcot Center.
$40 for this Goofy shirt. And it was so big on me. It was like an extra large. I would
love to see that.
And I'll tell you what, I swear to God, I walked past him mentally and he gave me a look like, yeah, bitch.
Really?
You're my bitch. I swear to God.
Look who's goofy now, bitch. Yeah, like. Okay, next listener mail. I have so much to say about what you just said, but we got to get to another. Okay, this comes from, this is a voice memo left by Amanda, which you can go leave these on our Instagram if you want to know. Nikki Glaser Pod,
boy listens to them late at night in the dark.
Yeah, we have like over 10,000 followers on Instagram, and I am just so grateful for the followers. And I promise you, we will keep putting up more content that is like much more revealing and riskier than our own pages. And yesterday we were singing Dave Matthews on the way to the car, the way to the podcast. So just follow us there.
I got a picture of Nikki sleeping like a bum.
And then I put it on mine because I loved it so much. It was I looked adorable.
Well, that just shows how hard you worked for 2 weeks. That's what that showed me, honestly.
And it was so early in the morning and our flight was delayed. I would have never slept at the gate. Yeah. But I had a mask and a sleep mask, so my whole face was covered and no one could tell it was me. Okay, let's hear from Amanda, who left us a voice memo yesterday.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
I love the pod. I have a mispronunciation story. So I tend to be more like Nikki. I correct people's pronunciation and grammar a lot.
Yes.
Pretty type A that way. So I was pretty embarrassed when I pronounced a pretty easy word wrong in the form of song, nonetheless. So I had a solo in my school's musical back in high school. The musical was The Music Man. The song was Till There Was You. Not sure if you've heard of it. Beautiful song.
Love that song.
Not important to the story. So I'm looking back at these old videos during quarantine, and I hear myself sing Fragrant Meadows.
Fragrant Meadows.
The word is fragrant. And
Fraggle Rock was big
at the time.
It was.
I'm finding out for the first time that I sang that wrong in like 10 years later in a video.
Yes, so, Amanda.
There's my story. Fragrant. Have all the swells. Jackpot.
Oh, Amanda, I love you so much. Fragrant is so funny.
Fragrant.
And there was music and wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and Jews. No.
I wonder if she had the memory, like, I nailed that. And then she saw the video and she was like,
why is no one going to tell her fragrance wrong? I think she just went to a bad school and they didn't know.
Oh, you think?
I think, like, why would no one correct that? I think that they were
there were probably rehearsals.
Oh, many. I mean, the music, what was it? The Music Man? Is that what she was? The Singing in the Rain. What the fuck was that song from? I love that song. That was a great one, Amanda. Keep sending in your mispronunciations. Do we have any more to get to today, Noah?
Oh, can you play that one that...
This is from Kate, a voice memo.
Hey, Nikki. Hey, Andrew. Hey, Kate. So I just thought you guys would really get a good kick out of this. I have a psycho ex-boyfriend who cannot take a hint. I've blocked him on every single social media platform. And a couple of days ago, he started Venmoing me in $5 increments and pleading me to kind of get back with him and give him a chance and everything. Today, I woke up to $15, so three separate transactions. The last one was begging for the chance to allow him to email me. So I want your advice. How can I go about further profiting from this? I'm thinking about sending him a request for a $100 one-time email fee. Do you think I should make it a higher increment, lower increment? I'm just really enjoying kind of messing with him because he's fucked with me for the last year and a half. So
okay, Kate.
Let me know what you think. Kate. Love you guys.
Kate, I'm a little worried for your safety because you described him as a psycho. So I want to make sure that you don't think this person could hurt you in any way, because this is very weird behavior to try to contact you so many ways when you've blocked him. So a little worried. However, I hear in your tone that you don't seem scared. You kind of think he's just ridiculous and you want to fuck with him. In a world where this guy cannot physically hurt you, which I think that he could because you don't know these people. So I would just block him on Venmo. The $5 aren't worth it. But in a world where you're not going to be worried about this guy, the $100 email sounds like a great idea. And then the email you send him is, or that he sends you, you just write back like, got it, or like a thumbs up or something.
Yeah, this guy's smart. This guy knows because he's only doing $5, so he could write like 20 messages. So he has a lot of room to keep writing.
Yeah,
so
get
say,
it,
look,
girl.
If you even want to pay me on Venmo, you got to do 20 of Venmo. Also, is she depositing these? I wonder, like, that's the other thing I'm wondering.
What do you mean?
Is she actually accepting?
Yeah, she's accepting this money. Get it, girl. I absolutely think you should take the money and run. However, I don't think you should make this guy go broke. If you know for a fact you're never going to get back together with him, I think, you know, if he is wealthy enough to be able to afford a $100 email, then yeah, get that. I am on Cameo. You know, and I raised my price to $1,000 just because I didn't know how to shut it down. And I was tired of doing cameos. I was too busy. So I just go, I'll make my price $1,000. So, and now people think I think I'm hot shit. It's just because I couldn't figure out a way to disable it. The app does not allow you to. So it looks like I'm just like one of the most expensive people on there. And I think I'm cool, but I don't. But however, they do let you allow DMs. People can pay $9.99 to DM me. I made it $10 because I'm like, you know, if someone wants to pay that, fine. Like, you could always message me on Instagram. You might not get a reply. You definitely aren't guaranteed a reply on Venmo or on Cameo either. I have one guy who's become so abusive on there and just like, why won't you write to me? I'm spending another $10. And he keeps writing and I go, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I don't care. Like, this guy doesn't know my address though, honey. So I will let him to keep harassing me with the $10 because it's his choice. But I would worry for your safety with this guy that you described as a psycho. And I want to know more, Kate. Can you message us back and tell us why he's a psycho, why he's tortured you before? I think the listeners want to know more history. I know I do.
But to go to your advice, if she goes higher, say, look, I'm only going to talk to you if you give me $500 on Venmo. He's going to be like, okay, you are a bitch. I'm done. Like, so eventually, if you want to be done with him, raise your price to an insane amount of money.
Do
a Cameo 1,000. Do a Kate a 500 and see what happens. And maybe you might get the 500. I mean, it sounds like this guy's not made of money, though, if he's giving $5 a pop.
Final thought. I just got a text from a major producer who I've worked with on some things. Director, I'm sorry. Who is actually, he was the director. Remember the Prince Solo from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? He was the one that I talked about on the show, right? The Prince Solo. Did I ever talk about it?
I don't think you did.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Prince, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Prince Solo is one of the best things I've ever watched on YouTube. It's like Silver Springs level of good. And there's a whole story behind it. So maybe I'll talk about it on Monday's show. Noah, will you write it down so I can talk about this? Anyway, the guy that I read all these articles about it because I was like, this performance is amazing. And they have all these like oral histories about that taping because it's such a monumentally like just epic performance. One of the best things you've ever seen musically. And it, so it so happened, I'm friends with the guy that did it because I've worked with him before. He just wrote me and said, "Hey, Nikki, nice work on MTV Awards. I'm producing the iHeartRadio Music Awards live on Fox next Thursday and would love for you to present an award. It's at the Dolby next Thursday from 5 to 7. I want to present an award at iHeartRadio Awards so bad. First of all, I have a podcast on iHeartRadio. He said, I know your podcast is on iHeart, so I thought you would be a great tie-in. Yeah, I said, I moved here. I go, if you guys, can you fly me in? That's not something you're supposed to ask a producer, but we were in the middle of a podcast. I wanted to get back to him. So I just go, I said, thank you, God, I wish. Can you fly me in? I'm in St. Louis where I live. He said, ha, well, let me ask. And I said, thank you. I'm sorry to ask. Would love to make this happen. He said, I'd love it too. I knew you were there a lot during the pandemic, but I guess you made the move. Good for you. I know your podcast is on iHeart, so I thought it would be great tie-in.
Where's the Dolby?
It's like on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, so
it's like
a big,
I did another event. Yeah, I'd be going out back to LA, which I'm dying to get back out there. It feels weird landing in St. Louis and being like, I don't have anywhere to go until June 18th when I do Bill Maher
back out
in LA. Yeah, I might. And I love that house that we stayed in. I might just fucking buy that place and fly out a friend to come stay with me.
Do it.
AKA
Jeff.
Ace, ATC. That's you, Jeff.
I was kidding.
Oh, no.
I
went on a date last night, everyone. It didn't.
Good for you.
Thank you. I was proud of myself.
Does that sound bad when people are like, good for you for getting out there?
It was
you get mad when people say like that?
It was really, not at all. Because it is good for me because I had a really long day. I was tired of talking. I had talked in 3 podcasts at dinner with David.
It,
and then I did 2 sets of 15 minutes each where I'm just talking nonstop. And I go to this dinner. And the thing is, I realize, which Ashley Hesseltine of Girls Gotta Eat helped me realize, is like these dates, even if you like show up and you're like, this is a friend vibe, I'm probably not feeling it romantically, even though you don't know, it's too soon to tell. So I give it some time. You don't know. Obviously, you're attracted to this person to even agree to a date. I just like went along with, I was just like, get to know someone and get interesting stories, you know, like get to, it's just... It, and I had good boundaries of like the second I was tired, I was just like yawning. I couldn't stop yawning. And I go, I'm really sorry. I have to cut this short. And we left and it was fine. And he is someone that I'll probably know for a really long time. I've already thought about him a lot today being like, I want to hang out with him again. Not a romantic way though. Like I really was like, that guy was so fucking interesting. So like,
here's the thing though.
Yeah.
You feel like once you feel out on a first date, no romance, it's done.
No, I'm not ruling it out, but I really don't think that.
Yeah.
I know almost right away when I'm romantically into someone. I don't think there's been a single person that I've developed feelings for that I didn't feel them right away.
Gotcha.
And I may be wrong. I need to assess that. But I think, and this person I was attracted to on Instagram. So I don't know what happened in person. It just, maybe my heart is still somewhere else. Maybe I'm not over someone else. Like, I don't know what's going on. But I was actually feeling some vibes like at the show, actually, with some people back, like not backstage, but like around, like there was a vibe happening. Okay. And I was like, because I was talking to some friends about, because they go, why is your date in the parking lot waiting for you? Because he was there. He got there on time and the show was running late. And I was like, they go, you're not going to have him in? I go, no, I don't. First of all, I want him to like me still. I go, I realize when I'm on stage, I'm in my masculine energy. And these guys are like, what are you talking about? And I go, I think girls are hot. That these are both stand-up comics. They're like, I'm always attracted to girls who do stand-up. And I go, do you want to fuck them maybe? But I go, would you marry them? Are they wife material? And they both were like, oh. Like, no. And I'm like, because no guy wants a girl, like not no guy, but the kind of guys I like, masculine energy men, don't want a woman who's telling it like it is. They can do that on stage. But then I go, they want it more like this, where it's like, hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? And my friend goes,
hot.
My friend Ben Glebe, who is not the person I was feeling vibes with, I want to be clear. He was like, whoa, wait, what just happened? He was like, I really like that. And I go, you do? I was like, I feel like very vulnerable around you. And he was like, Nikki, I need you to stop. Like it works so well. I sold these two guys that I was talking to on this whole concept. And then I went on stage and because I had forgotten about all the bits I used to do about, you know, how we're attracted to men who are on stage because of certain reasons. You'll see it in my special if you haven't. And you'll see me talk about it more if you see me on tour. But I went on stage and I had all these bits around it that these guys that had just heard me talk in the room, they were like, you just like took that up there, and like, and I go, no, I was like running bits with you backstage, but I wasn't. I was like,
yes, yeah,
get, like just telling them what I've learned. It
and
was
I
so
feel
good.
Like you can apply that to if you know you're a boss bitch in your job, like you're above someone in your job, and you're doing meetings, and you're talking like this in the meeting. Like a guy might want to fuck you, like a fun fuck, but would be afraid to marry that. And it's the same exact concept. You on stage as a woman giving a Microsoft PowerPoint presentation like a badass in a pantsuit, where you'd want to fuck in the office, but would you necessarily want to marry?
Well, you can't deny, like, when I'm up there, and you're absolutely right, you can go, that's a hot woman. Like, I look hot. You know, there's no denying my legs are out. I look, it's like, you know, MTV Awards, I looked, yeah, had a Sharon Stone sexual vibe. The thing is, if men get turned, laughing, you're part of your brain that laughs, and where you're like, like, and you like, you know, when you laugh, you can't even like hold your, have you ever worked out and started laughing when you're listening to a podcast and your body kind of gets limp? And sure, it's like, yeah. It's kind of like, you can't do something physically like hard, like sex. And also laugh. Laugh is like a weakening thing, and sex is like a thing. So if I'm on stage and men are getting horny, they're not listening to what I'm saying. You can't laugh and be horny. Maybe some people can, but it is two different parts of your brain. So when I'm on stage, I never want to make anyone horny, except maybe the comic in the back of the room that I'm trying to like stand in a sexual way for, who's not even listening to me because we just drown out comedy anyway, you know?
Yeah, I love picturing you in a room full of like 50 hot men and you don't get one laugh and you're like, thank God.
That's so true. Last night, I looked at the audio. Oh, so I yelled at some people talking last night. I'm going to make this so quick. There were some people talking really loud last night. And I go, excuse me. I go, hey, stop talking. You don't even hear me because you're talking. You need to stop talking. It was a waitress talking to the table. Okay. And I go, this is what has happened, you guys. I go, oh, that's a waitress. I go, still a little chatty. She needs to like hear, even though she didn't. And I go, that's what happens. I go, I blur my eyes on stage, everyone. I go, you all look like blurs because I'm scared of intimacy. I'm scared of looking you in the eyes. And I go, I'm going to unblur my eyes. Are you guys ready? I've never done this. And so I start unblurring my eyes and look, and I go, and I believe in love at first sight. So let's go around the room. And I did a really funny bit that I want to try out where I was looking in guys' eyes and going, okay, let me see this. No, that's not it. Yeah. This over here. gross. And it was killing.
You could say something like, back to blurry.
Funny. Yeah. And back to the blur. No, it was weird to unblur, which it took concerted effort because my natural state is blurred up there to protect myself. But I announced that I was on stage. I go, you guys, I have a date. He's waiting in the parking lot. I hate this. So on the way out, it was so funny. It was like a room of 300 people. And when I left, a lot of people get up to go to the bathroom in between comics. And I ran into a bunch of people and they go, have a good date. They were like hot guys being like, have fun. Date Nikki, and I was just like, oh, I don't want to go. And then I got in the car and had a great time. So that's the week of shows. I feel so good about how we patched I feel like I patched things up with the listeners who might have been disappointed in my behavior yesterday. I'm sorry. I can't always be the best, but you make me want to be a better podcast host and friend.
And you,
I love you, Andrew.
And I'm perfect.
Okay, I didn't get it back, but that's part of the course of my life. You guys, we will see
you.
Thanks.
I love
okay,
you,
that's no.
Like
no.
How your dad would always say.
Yeah, okay, you can say babe if you say it the way my dad
yeah,
does.
Yeah, I love you, babe.
With your dick in your hand. Okay, I'm just kidding. Gross,
kidding.
Dad. Sorry.
Sorry,
if my
daddy.
Dad's listening, dad, don't
sorry,
listen to this
Jace.
Podcast. Okay, love you guys, besties.
Have
leave us voicemails.
Weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All the 12s.
Yeah.